Good morning. Please have a seat. Welcome, everyone, to worship. My name is Roger, and it will be my privilege today to lead worship. And then I'm away for 3 weeks, and I can't wait for tomorrow morning. It's another beautiful day out there, and I'm sure attitudes and outlooks are still bright. And that's a wonderful thing, to come into God's place with attitude. Beautiful. We have, of course, to acknowledge our place. And in the front of the bulletin, you'll see the acknowledgement of place. We recite this every week in reminder of our history, of our heritage, and in recognition of everyone who has been here before us. Join me, please. As we gather in this place, we remember the gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender, identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. And my mind wanders from that statement to the knowledge that many of us families here have ancestors who farmed the land here, right here in this place. It didn't look at all like this, and everything that happened that brought Coal Harbor and brought Forest Hills and Colby Village and Woodside to where it is today has happened with our ancestors as well, keeping them in mind. We light candles, the first candle, of course. We are today in the company of God here. We brought him with us, we brought Jesus with us, and we light this candle for Jesus the Christ. We light a peace candle, and if you listen to the news nowadays, more and more and more reason to light more peace candles and send the message that we're supporting peace throughout the world. And today I'd like to think of first responders. This past week, locally, has had quite a number of accidents and times where first responders and their touch and their care was most important. Now, where's the step? Behind the chair, Roger. Okay. This jacket's not going to last long. I'm pretty sure Hav would agree. There you go.
Hunger and thirst in me come to worship.
We look for Jesus, the living bread.
God feeds us with love and justice.
We gather in Jesus, the bread of hope.
God calls us to compassion that we may also feed others.
Jesus' love challenges us to share life with all.
We gather to sing, to praise, to pray, and to serve God in the world.
For here in worship, we share Christ's life.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, lead us now in your way. Show us the holy place that we may share with all people. Take us into the company of God, your parent, and wrap us in the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand our heritage and our inheritance. Amen. The first hymn is in Voices United, the red-bound book. Voices United, number 559, Come, O Fount of Ever Blessing.
Here I pause in my sojourning, giving thanks for having come. Come to trust at every turning, God will guide me safely home. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, came to rescue me from danger, precious presence, precious blood.
Good morning. Today's scripture is Hebrews 9, 1-14 in the New International Version. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablet of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherub of the glory, overshadowing the anointed cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink, and various ceremony washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are unworldly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Amen.
Thank you. So, I'm looking for children. I'm looking for children. I see five, I believe. Six, perhaps. Seven. And today we're not going to sit down. I thought I'd get that out there before we all did. Today we're going to go for a little bit of a walk. All right, are you all good for that? But I need to have an agreement. Oh, this is great. I've got a rabble. I need to have an agreement. I'm going to ask questions, and I want you guys to speak up and answer the way you know. Because I don't like talking to myself. Deal? Deal. Good. So what we're going to do is we're going to start right here. And look at all these people out here, mostly smiling and perplexed. I'm going to ask you, in church, who are they? Any answer counts. Any answer counts. What is that? Huh? Just okay. Do we have an answer? Who are they? People. Oh, people. Okay, if I said the word congregation, have you ever heard that one before? You've heard it? No? Okay. You said yes. Who else said yes? Congregation. Who's heard it? What is a congregation? Let me give you a big helping hand. Congregation, the word, comes from the word congregate, which is a verb. And to congregate, let's walk with me while we talk. To congregate means to get together, to come to a meeting, to a congress. A congress, which is a joining of the minds. Everybody gets together to join the minds. You're a happy one. All right. So this is the congregation. And you're all part of the congregation. All right. Now, we're going to see if this picks us up. Follow me. Going to keep talking just to see if it actually picks me up. And I think it does. Keep coming. All the way around here. All the way around. All the way around. And we come up here, onto this landing up here. Everybody come up, just don't touch anything. I'm not allowed, so you're not allowed. Everybody come in. All right, now look, do you see all the congregation out there? All right, so what is this place? Yes, go ahead. This is the church, right here? Well, it's part of the church, but this room is called something. Anybody know? No? Let's ask the congregation, what is this room called? The sound booth. And you see all of this? Mr. White, Don has control of this, and you see all of that? That's Stu's bailiwick. He's got photographs of all you guys right there. Okay, let's back out, go on back down into the congregation. So the sound booth, what they're doing is they're controlling the sound of my voice, and if they don't like what I'm saying, they could just shut me off, which Don is like. So, now, so far, no mysteries, no magic, nothing. Okay, come with me. Let's go. Come on. Be careful on the steps. Careful. All the way up here. Everybody on this, don't touch the guitar. Be careful around the guitar. Everybody up there. All right, where's the congregation? Yeah, there they are. Okay, so who are they? Meh, you're just meh. Is that it? So who are they?
No clue.
No clue. Who are they? I don't know. All right, just a second. Who are you guys?
Choir.
They're the choir. What do choirs do? They sing. All right, let's just take it one step further. Who's that guy? Charles. That's Charles. Charles does what?
Plays the piano.
What else does Charles do? Watch yourself around the guitar. What else does Charles do? He directs from right here. He stands here and he helps the choir sing. He teaches us how to sing. All right, so far there's really no mystery, is there? All right, so come carefully around the guitar. Don't touch it. And let's go down here. So far, we've discovered that we have a congregation that comes to meet every Sunday right here to be of one mind. Do you know what they're doing when they come here every Sunday? Yes, you do. I know that you're smarter than that. What are they doing when they come here every Sunday? Praying? Yes, praying. Are we saying hello to God? Yes. Are we trying to learn more about God? Yes. Turn around. What is this? A book. Does anybody know what this, a Bible? What does the Bible have in it? Psalms, stories. The stories are called parables, right? Stories about Jesus and about times before Jesus. So really no mystery. Here's a Bible. If you want to ever read it, nobody's going to ever shoo you away from here if you're being careful with the pages and reading it carefully. Come this way, all the way back here. Now this is like kind of a museum. What's that? Is that what you said again? Oh, glass. You said it's glass. Look past the glass. What's on the other side of it? What do you see? That's very good. That's deep. These are communion vessels. Communion is what we receive from time to time here at church when we pray and believe that we're taking God's body and God's blood, Jesus' body and blood, into ourselves. It's all part of what we do as Christians here at church with the congregation. So who usually is up there talking to everybody? Come and follow me. Who is the person that usually leads everybody up there? Because it's not me usually. No, who is it? Michael. And what is Michael's official title? Okay, I'm going to give you a clue as to how to think. Are there any engineers in the house? Can we have a hand up? No, he's retired. Are there any accountants in the house? Are there any office workers in the house? Hands up. Are there any people who work in the service industry in the house? Are there any plumbers or electricians or carpenters in the house? Now, gives you an idea. What does Michael do? All right, he is the minister. And the word minister, follow me again, all the way up here. So, we have no secret places. There's no hidden agendas here. And all the candles are still lit. Marvelous. Now you can sit. We'll only take another couple of moments. The word minister comes from, and can be a verb as well. To minister means to give. To minister means to care for. To minister means to help freely. And Michael gives, he cares for, and he helps freely all those who believe in God. He helps, ministers, cares for freely anyone with questions. He loves everyone, as we all try to. Because why we come here as a congregation is to be of one mind and to learn more about God. So there's not a single place in this entire church that you can't go. All we have to do is respect what's here and enjoy it and understand it. And I think it's important for me to let you know that, so that you can grow up as a whole person in God. Now, let's say a prayer. Hello, God. It is awfully nice to bring you here today. We're going to talk some more about you during our time with activities. And stay with us for the whole week, please. Amen. Now we have a song, and the song is Teach Me God to Wonder in Voices United, number 299. So if it sounds like it's rocking and rolling and you want to dance, you can dance. And even if it isn't sounding like it's rocking and rolling, you want to dance, you can dance. Okay? Let's stand up. Activity time. So hurry along and come back and share with us what you did.
Thank you.
So the reading today was terminally long. Thank you. It takes a great deal of patience to get through that. Children's time related to the reading. If any of you were closely paying attention, we talked about the first tabernacle in ancient times. And I'm coming all the way down here to the door to the sanctuary for reason, because the first tabernacle had three sections. And the first section, which was fairly large, was for the congregation. The first section was where people worshiped. They interacted with the priests and the high priests, not so much the high priests. They were fairly aloof, I would imagine. Now, there was a massive curtain, and perhaps it wasn't a curtain. Maybe it was a stone wall right about here. Nobody could see into here. Nobody. And when they went through this curtain, the priests were the only ones who were permitted, not the people, not the congregation. And that is where the priests could kick back and relax without the pressure of congregants asking them questions. And they were closer to God in there. Not here, there. Now, the one person, the high priest, he had, and this, by the way, this place was called the holy place. There was another curtain. It was probably velvet, probably ornately decorated. And that curtain actually surrounded the inner room, the inner sanctum, the holy of holies, the holiest place. In the holiest place was kept the Ark of the Covenant. I say those three words. Who thinks of Indiana Jones? I know I do. Laura Croft. The Ark of the Covenant. Gold. Cherubims sitting on top of it, protecting it. Inside the tablets of Moses, the commandments. And only the high priest, only that one individual was able, was allowed access to that one room, the holiest place. And he was only allowed to go there on the Day of Atonement. And he could not go there unless he cleansed himself first with the blood of a beast. And then he was only allowed in there for a short period of time. No one else. No one else allowed in there. He was the one who would allow to be that close to God. So the congregation could talk about the opportunity to be close to God. The priests, well, they could get closer. They got inside that room. And then one of them, probably an elected one, had the privilege, the honor of being closer to God. I think that change was inevitable. And when Christ came along, the second tabernacle, the new tabernacle, was created. It was said in the reading that even the high priest had to pay to get access to God. We just covered that. But the people, the congregation, were not able to clear their conscience to the worshiper, or the conscience of the worshiper. They observed, and perhaps they felt, that they could not possibly ever have enough to offer to settle their guilt. You might say, what guilt? It was their belief in not being worthy to be in the presence of God. Christ came along. Christ entered using his own blood, his own sacrifice. Outwardly clean as opposed to inwardly clean. the blood of the beasts cleaned people outwardly, cleaned their skin. They're clean, they can go in, but not their hearts. Christ, by sacrificing himself, went in heart, soul, and body to the company of God. And we, followers of Christ, Christians, ride on his coattails because Christ sacrificed himself for us, the reconciliation of sins, the atonement. We are able to have God sit with us here. We are able to have God walk with us out there. We're able to talk to God at any time in this world we know. Today, all around us, religions are posturing, and they have done now for some thousand years. Anglican and Catholics, for instance, have tabernacles. They actually have tabernacles in their sanctuaries where only the priest has access. He has a key. Typically, they have a gold front or a gold-colored front. They have velvets and finery. Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and along with them the Jehovah's Witnesses, hold very different views. We've seen and observed the differences. And they support an entire hierarchy of officiates, different levels, people who are getting closer and closer to God, leaving the common folk behind. To wonder what that's like. The Jewish faith today have varying people of import who are closer to God. They still have access denied to the common worshiper in many synagogues to the inner room. And the list goes on and on. It is our intention, the United Church's intention, through Jesus' teachings, to bring God to all people. That is what Jesus asked of us, to bring God to all people. When Jesus was crucified, when he died on the cross, when he made the ultimate sacrifice for us, you may remember in Scripture, the curtains of the tabernacle were torn asunder. They're done. They're gone. Open to all, for all to see. We are the United Church. And we, especially here, are open to all people. That means that we're not restricting anyone access to our community. We're not restricting anyone access to our Congress. Not a single living being is denied access. We rejoice in the freedom that we have in our relationship with God. We rejoice in the fact that Jesus tore the curtains from the tabernacle and made God available to each and every one of us. Through his sacrifice, we're welcomed into the company of God, the new tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. We must demonstrate the ecstasy of the truth in those statements. We must share God's love and Christ's message with all of the world. And what better way than to be open to all? Thank you.
I always try to pick something that matches with the sermon. And I picked this hymn because it's about the sacred dwelling place of God, which is in our hearts.
Last week, there was nary an announcement, not one. We are at that point in the service where anybody who has an announcement may come forward and make their announcement. Two weeks in a row. There were two big birthdays this week. This is good. I won't get any demerits from Mike. Oh, yes. Mary Lou had a surprise 70th birthday celebration on Monday. Just a notch. A couple of notches. The 90th, perhaps? August 25th, Marie Cowan. Yes. We'll pray for Marie a little later on. Are there any other announcements? And thanks for bailing me out. Can't tell Mike I didn't have any announcements 2 weeks in a row. He'll just say, you're failing. What's going on? Okay. A moment for mission and service. Oh, you're letting her fly solo? Okay.
Five Oaks, a sacred place. Our gifts for mission and service support education centers like Five Oaks Education and Retreat Center in Paris, Ontario, that offers programs for children, youth, and adults that inspire and inform. The United Church of Canada Five Oaks Education and Retreat Center was the vision of Bev Oaten in the 1950s. The first programs began in the summer of 1952. Five Oaks has gone through many changes over its 67-year history. In 2016, when Five Oaks was planning to close, a new vision of being an intercultural and interfaith center rose from the ashes of the past. Five Oaks has continued its partnership with the United Church and Six Nations of the Grand River as the center sits on the sacred land of the Six Nations and has added a partnership with the Muslim community as well. The center is now writing a new chapter in its story with a committed board of directors. The future is bright and hopeful for the education center that has been revived. Your gifts for mission and service help Five Oaks and two other education centers sustain their vision and their ministry. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join us in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Our offering
taken. Thank you. Thank you, Don. Take these, our offerings, God, given today or through PAR, and put them to the good work of your people in your name. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us pray. Jesus, bring the Holy Spirit down upon us. We know at this time that we could think we could reach beyond these walls around the world. We could talk about the posturing of governments, North Korea, South Korea, the United States, China, Russia, Venezuela. We are doing and supporting good work there. We ask that you continue to work with us. We could talk about our nation. We could talk about the posturing of governments, preparing for an election, putting major issues that should be attended to immediately off until the timing is right for politics. We could talk about our knowledge and our yearning to help the First Nations people up north, in Manitoba, everywhere, with the crises that they're facing for housing, for water, for the cost of living. But we know that you're with us in that area too. We know that our work and our voice is being heard. Today, though, God, Jesus, we would like you to know about those who we hold closest to us, who are in need of your care, who are ill. We'll say the names aloud or in the silence of our hearts, and we'll start with Marie Cowan. Be with her. Loved ones, acquaintances, relatives, facing challenges, facing trials, combating cancer, disease, illness, steadying themselves for yet another round of chemo. We know who they are. We think of them often. Our minds get swept away by the toils of regular everyday life. So here in this place, we can focus for you, God. Hear those voices, hear those names, and be with them. And now together in one voice, in the words that your son Jesus taught us, we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Voices United, number 582, There is a Spirit in the Air. remain in your hearts. May God be felt in your touch and in your very being. Until we meet again. Amen.